2 Timothy 3:14. We're going to learn a little bit, faith and patience. Relationship of faith and patience. 2 Timothy 3:14.
Is that good enough?
Right. Very variety there. All right, 2 Timothy 3:14. Before we get in and read that, it's patience. The definition of patience, it's hupomone. It's a Greek word. It's make up hupo and meno, M-E-N-O. So basically, it's cheerful endurance, enduring patience, patient continuance. And we're going to see this throughout this teaching. The word meno means to stay in a given place, state, or expectancy. So what it's talking about when we're talking about believing and patience is staying in the state of believing, staying there, not just visiting there. It means abide, continue, dwell, endure, remain, and stand. So with that as an overview here, we're going to hit 2 Timothy 2:14. The word continue is that same word. It sheds some light here. 3:14. They're very good. Thank you. So 2 Timothy 3:14 says, but continue. So that word continue is meno. It basically abide. And it means habitually abide or stay put. All right? Don't just visit somewhere. It's continuing. When you continue something, you have to start, right? So you decide to believe something. And it says here, it's exhorting Timothy here and to continue in the things which thou hast learned and be assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So continue in the word he's talking about. He's instructing Timothy, but it's applicable to us today, right, to continue in the word. That same word is used in, you don't have to turn to it, in John 15:5, where Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, if you abide means if you continually stay in my word, habitually and continually stay in there, and have the word habitually and stay in your heart, whatever you ask, you will. So it's more than just visiting, okay? It's a decision on the person to abide, right? If I'm going to Howard Johnson's, I sign in to go to stay there overnight to abide there, right? So, but you make a decision. It's not God pushing you to do these things. And also, I just made a couple notes. So it describes basically a person like, this is my spot. I'm not moving. I'm staying. This is what the word says. I'm staying on it. That's it, right? That type of attitude and determination. And regardless of what the circumstances around me dictate or show or that I perceive by the five senses, we're staying on what the word says. That's what continue is. So with that, let's look at some words regarding, some scripture regarding patience. So we're in Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy 6:11. We're just going to see some verses here where patience is used. See how it's used. So 6:11, 1 Timothy. Let me see some here. So it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow, the word follow is pursue after righteousness, godliness, believing, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We pursue it. So if God says we can pursue something, and then the whole idea of pursuing, we're going to grab it, right? Attain it, if you will. That means we can do it if God says it's available, right? Look at Titus, Timothy, Titus 2:2. Now, I just don't, this is like, it says the aged men, okay? So this could apply to even unaged men and women. But let's, before it says, but speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. And the word sober there is vigilant, circumspect. Grave is honest, temperate, self-controlled. sound in the faith, which means uncorrupted in believing, in charity, and patience. So we're just sound in those things, uncorrupted. We just stand in them. Look at Colossians 1:11. Just a lot of finger exercise today. And here it's in the prayer that Paul prayed here, and part of it says in verse 11, Colossians 1:11, says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto what? All patience and long-suffering with what? Joyfulness. So one of the keys to patience isn't like sometimes, you know, if you're growing up, say you're waiting for, when you're a kid, you're waiting for like Christmas to come. Yeah, I can't wait to get the toys and all, you know, impatient, you know. And it's like grinning and bearing things, or you're in a traffic jam. And be patient. You're in line waiting for something, and at the store or whatever, checkout line. So it isn't like grinning and bearing. It's joyful, patient, and we're going to see why we could have joyfulness along this way, okay? Because God says, unto all patience with long-suffering, with joyfulness. So that's the attitude of mind and heart. Look at Hebrews 6:12. Tried to lump these together so we don't have to run all over the word here. So 6:12, it says, that ye be not slothful, but followers as imitators, who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So there was promises made. It took time for that promise to be fulfilled, but in that time, they stayed in believing the promise. That's the whole thing here. Over in Hebrews, look at 10:35. Says, this is a good one too. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For what? You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, it's a requirement. We need patience. In order to fulfill God's word, fulfill in our lives, there are times we're going to have to hang in there, stand on the word, and it's going to require patience. And that's a cheerful expectation that God's going to come through on our part. That's what keeps us in that believing mood, if you will. In that same spot we saw where it says continue, not to be moved away from that believing. And Hebrews 12:1, I might as well just keep going back here. It's another good one. Very familiar verse. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with how? Patience, the race that is set before us. How do you run? Then it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, verse 3, for consider him that endured, same word, he endured, patiently endured. That's how he completed his task to the cross, right? So, and in verse 1, it says, lay aside every weight and sin. The weight, the sins, and we're going to look at it, that trials and temptations are there to take us out of that place of believing, to get us to relinquish that, to give up, faint in our minds, see? That's the whole deal, and we're going to look at that in a little more detail. But one more verse regarding patience. Look at Luke 8:15. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And this is the record of the sower and the seed. And it says in verse 15, but they that are on the good ground are they which have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they hear it, you keep it, and what happens? You bring forth fruit, how? With patience. You keep the word, keeping it, and bring it forth with patience. It's the cycle of life, how God sets it up. In Isaiah 55:11, 10:11, where he says, as the rain comes down and waters the earth, the rain and snow, and returns not thither, but, you know, makes grass, and then the grain, and the harvest comes after that. So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return me void. It shall accomplish that which I please and prosper where I send it. Well, there's that time element where from the word being heard and believed to God fulfilling his word. That's how it is in the word of God. All through the word, you can see he promised Jesus Christ in Genesis, right? How long did it take for him to come around the board? Didn't come the next day, and you know. So the whole point is there's always that element, that time period to stay in believing that's going to have to transpire until we realize the promise in our lives being fulfilled. So the difference between developing believing and patience. A lot of times people have an idea that God sent, first we'll deal with where they come from, temptations, but we have a temptation or trial that it's there to build our faith or believing. Well, I don't believe so. It doesn't say that, because in James it says the trials of your believing work, trying of your believing works patience. So the trials don't work believing, it works patience, but it's a trying your believing. So believing is developed as we act on the word, right? And you develop your belief, you get more trust in God, you see God come to pass. Our believing should be developed before the trial comes, right? So let's look at Luke here. It's a good record, illustrates that, Luke 6. It's like this, you don't get prepared for the battle, right? The day when the battle comes, right? So you have to have some preparation so that you can withstand in the battle and come out ahead and win and claim the victory, right? Sometimes we don't do that. 647 of Luke. It's a good record. So Jesus speaking, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and hears my saying," one thing, you hear it, do it, "I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house, dig deep, laid a foundation on a rock. When the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock." See, you know, just a couple notes here. You know, notice he dug deep, right? So he got prepared before the storm. So when the storms come, he wasn't shaken off the word of God. He wasn't shaken off the rock. That's the whole key of being patient. You believe God's word and you stay there in that one spot. You stay in that same constant believing the word of God, and then you'll see it come to pass in your life. So let's go to James now. We'll look at the verses in James 1. So it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Now, fall into, that word used two other times, once in Luke regarding, it says it's a parable, someone fell among thieves and then he got beat up and robbed, right? And the other one was the ship when Paul was going to Rome, it came into two seas and the ship got wrecked. So it's threatening situations. When you fall into it, like a threatening situation arises in your life, all right? So you count it all joy. Now, our natural five senses, reasoning, mind, whatever, when you have trials and temptations, you don't just kick your heels and say, glory, hallelujah, right? So that's because this isn't this isn't a test of our five senses. This is our mind believing God's word, really. So it's just us saying, this is what the word says. And we're going to see why we can count it joy. It's not a forced thing. If you see the perspective of the word, you know you have the victory and so forth, you can count it all joy, because then you can build that patience in the trials. Because when the next trial comes, you have more confidence, more expectation, and it's not going to impact you as much as you grow in this, as you grow in patience and grow and learn how to deal with situations. They're always going to come up, and we're going to see that. So, count it all joy. So here's a good thing about that. When you count it all joy, what will your attitude be? Is it an attitude of, you know, anger towards God, towards others, you know, self-doubt, you know? Is it any of those things? Because a lot of times those things come up. You know, why this happened? You know, always me, you know, all this stuff. Or is it resentment? But remember, these tests and trials aren't there to test our cleverness or our ingenuity or any of that. It's to test our believing. It's to knock us off our believing. It's to get us off the Word of God. You just look at Genesis 1 and just one, I mean 3, and you see that from the, that's the pattern. The adversary wants you to doubt the Word of God, question the Word of God, and basically ultimately rely on your five senses, and then he's got you in his realm, right? So in order to develop patience, we need to know what the Word says about trials, tribulations. And right in James 1:13, this is where most people think a trial sometimes comes from God and he's going to test you and all this stuff, right? So this sort of blows that notion out of the water here. It says, let no man say, see, that no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt thee anyone. So once we know it's not coming from God, that's a good thing to know. So you know where it's coming from. But then verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. So it's enticed to bring you off the Word of God. That's the temptation, the purpose of it, okay? To get you to quit believing the Word of God or discourage you from believing it, get you in bewilderment. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. This just supports that verse there. 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's very familiar, but in this context, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may bear it. So God is faithful. He's going to pull you through the trial and temptation as we look to him and trust him, right? So it's not coming from him. He's here to help us get through it. It doesn't mean you're never going to encounter trials. It doesn't mean if you encounter one that you did something wrong necessarily. Now, there's sometimes we're stupid and we sort of cause our own problems. But if you're walking with God all the time, as you saw the people in the Word of God, look at Jesus Christ. Did he encounter trials and temptations, right? So Paul did. He wrote the book here. So it's a fact of life, if you will. And that says it in John 16:33, right? He sort of makes it really clear here. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, which is pressing together, oppression, oppression, mental affliction, mental pressure, distress. That's how it's translated. So you shall have, 16:33 of John, you shall have tribulation. So that's a given, right? It's not like once in a while you might have it. Mm-hmm. Potential there? No. You shall. But, see, there's the but. In contrast, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I think there's a translation under where I remember way back. It's believe positively that which is right, for I have conquered the world and deprived it of its power over you. Something along that line. But basically, we always triumph in Christ Jesus, basically, it comes out to be. So we look unto him. We have tribulations, but we go unto the Word of God, trust in his Word, believe it, stand on it, and we get through that trial and tribulation. Even though at times it may not look like you're getting through it, but when you get through it, you look back, you say, well, how did I get through this? Like, we're going through some stuff now, which is, we're looking back and it's like, well, okay, we're, you know, there's some little dips here, but we're getting there, you know? And we're coming out victorious. We're not getting dissuaded from the Word of God. Back to James. We'll go for the next verse in James 1:3. You're going to look at all these three verses, 2, 3, and 4. So verse 3 says, knowing this. So it says, brethren, count it all joy in verse 2 when you fall in divers temptation. Knowing something. So it's telling you something. If you know this, that's how you count it all joy. All right, so here's some information. That the trying of your faith works patience. Now, we'll look at that a little bit. You can keep your finger. We're going to come back here, but go to 1 Peter. We sort of touched on this, but just to see it in writing here. 1 Peter 1:6. Yeah, 1:6. Is that right?
Yep.
Sure it's right?
Yep.
Yes, there it is, right. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate that. Say, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if you need be. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word manifold is the same word as divers temptations in James. Similar word, same word. Verse 7, that the trial of your believing, being much more precious of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, it's the trial of the believing's being tried. That's what we're talking about here. The trying of your faith works patience. Look at Romans 12:2, and then we'll go back to James. And we know Romans 12:2 here. But in this context of patience, faith and patience, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove. That word prove is to try by test. Prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. When the trial comes, we believe God's word. And when you believe God's word, see God delivers you, you pass the test that you're believing him. It's not God testing you. It's the temptations that the adversary or the situations of the world that are naturally here come up and arise that are trying our believing. Are we trusting God? And you don't know where you are in your walk until you have a temptation trial. Then you know, right? You know that something comes up. Well, I'm maybe here, but if that's fine. I mean, you go where you are, and then you get through that one, you get a little stronger, and we're going to see that it progresses. So we renew our minds to believe God and see in the midst of the trials and temptations. That's the whole point. And renewing our mind is just trusting God in that. So back to James. We're at the end post here. The end stretch. So James. So we'll recap here. So you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, you know something, that the trying of your believing works patience. Right? But then verse 4, but let. So let is something we do, right? Let patience have her perfect work. That why? That you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Come to the word perfect is full maturity. Let it ride out the whole thing. Don't stop in between and say, well, you know, I give up my patience. I lost my patience, right? You know, that type of, no. Let it have her perfect work. We can let it. We had the power to let it. That's a powerful thing, patience. Man, it keeps you stayed where you should be on the word of God. See, it says, and the word patient is patient endurance or staying power. Think of it, that's a better word. So when all is going well, I don't have to endure anything, right? So you don't, there's nothing to believe for, right. There's nothing to really try for, you know. But endurance is required when the difficult circumstances arise, right? So then, have we dug deep enough with the word in our hearts to prepare for life? Because this is a life, this isn't wait till the crisis comes and we get to the word and start saying, oh man, listen to tapes and call everybody and their mother to pray for you. Now, all that's good, but it's a lifestyle, right? We dig deep daily, keep into the word. And we'll be, and a lot of times we'll be ahead of the game here. We'll be prepared for whenever the trial comes. So we're going to end it here. Romans 5:1 really summarizes everything that was in James. It says it in a different way. Romans 5. So 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By Jesus Christ, we also have access. By what? Believing into what? The grace wherein we stand. So, and we read what? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, and then look for verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. That word glory is similar to counted all joy in James. Glory in tribulations, knowing. See, knowing, like it said in James, similar word. That tribulation works patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. Now, with that in mind, look at verse 17 here of Romans 5. It says, for if one man's offense, by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one, or rule in life by one, Jesus Christ. And the receive abundance of grace is lambano. And how do you receive grace? It tells us in verse 2, by faith. We believe God's word to get his grace is already there. We just believe it and receive it, right? So as we do that, that's why we can glory, because we know we have the victory. And another, really, from this verse, it says, not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing tribulation works patience, patience experience. That word experience is the effect of proving God's word, right? Or the experience of victory in proving God's word. That's the good experience. And you say, wow, I got that. And then experience, that experience of victory creates more hope, confident expectation, so that next time something comes up, you know that, hey, God came through here. He's coming through again. I have no doubt. I'm staying put. I'm continuing in the word. And we can stand. And the last sentence here, you can have patient endurance and stand on God's word because you expect that what you believe to come to pass. And patience keeps you on the rock to ride out the storm until the victory comes. Amen.